time to feel the rush of the Round Table, live on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Brought to you by Burke Financial, offering homeowners personalized mortgage solutions. For approvals in as little as an hour and fast funding, visit burkefinancial.ca. Brokerage number license 13111. Joining us, News Talk 1010 political analyst Scott Reed. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys.
And former journalist and communications advisor to the Premier, founder of KPW Communications, Carmen Wong. Hey, Carmen.
Hey, Jay.
We've had a bit of a back and forth today between two federal political leaders, Justin Trudeau and Erin O'Toole, both talking about an event last night that happened in Brampton where 400-some-odd people were there, including Hazel McCallion, Jean Chrétien was there. The area itself, the banquet hall itself, was allowed to have 500 people in it. There were 400. The concern was that there wasn't a lot of distancing. People seemed crammed together. And the Prime Minister today was asked about it.
I know your team has made it clear that last night you followed public health guidelines in Brampton when you packed 400 people in a room. But I want to ask you, what message does it send during a fourth wave of a pandemic that has killed more than 27,000 Canadians to pack people in a room like that? How is that delivering a message that you're going to end the pandemic?
First of all, we followed all public health guidelines around capacity, around people in the room, because we do need to follow those public health guidelines as we get through this.
So you had that answer from Justin Trudeau, and I'm sorry, my computer's not loading. Erin O'Toole basically, Scott, criticized. Oh, here he is. Hold on.
Once again, Justin Trudeau put his entitlement and privilege on full display. In Brampton, from day one, a major COVID hotspot in Canada, Justin Trudeau held an event in a packed room in contempt of common sense and social distancing guidelines. That's Justin Trudeau, the man who lectures you about the rules he isn't willing to follow himself.
Scott, you mentioned, I think it was on Monday's More in the Morning, that this was going to be a nasty week. Here we are.
Yeah, and I think what's really interesting about this issue is that it's literally a hair that separates one argument from winning over the other. And by that, I mean this. This works for the Conservatives if people think it's about Justin Trudeau, as the Conservative ads here in this final week, the negative ads say, he's always about himself, always going to put himself first. Then it works for them. But if people think this is about the pandemic, are we following rules? Is it about the pandemic? Then it's a loser for the Conservatives, because ultimately more people think that the Liberals will have their back when it comes to public health and the pandemic. I think it's a very dangerous, in all honesty, I think it's a very dangerous play for the Conservatives to go on. I'd rather fight on different ground than this right now. I wouldn't have gone heavy on that thing, because I like, when you've got unvaccinated candidates running for you, when you are saying that my candidates can wander into an old folks home without being double vaxxed, I just think your flank is too exposed on this. I'm not sure it's the issue you want to try to close out the campaign on.
Carmen, is there any hypocrisy here on the part of the Prime Minister? It's not the first time Justin Trudeau's had a room full of people, journalists questioning whether or not there's too many people in that room.
Yeah, a bit. I mean, from a campaign communications perspective, I get the value of the rally and the pictures that it produces. It's a boost for local campaigns. And I mean, Trudeau seems to perform at his best in this type of format. But when you're arguing that you're the party that respects public health, that you are the party that believes in science and vaccinations, you gotta be above reproach, especially when you've been caught once on this issue, on the wrong side of this issue before, and especially before you trot out one of the oldest and most treasured people in the GTA, Hazel McCallion, into that idea. Like, why not mask everyone? Why not have proof of vaccination like that that's going to be coming into Ontario soon? Why not cover yourself on this as opposed to being exposed on it?
Well, hang on. Didn't they have proof of vaccination for everyone? I mean, they said they followed public health guidelines. I assume they did that. It's just the image of that many people packed in that close that freaks people out.
Yeah, well, definitely. There's no distancing there. And again, you know, it would have been better had Justin Trudeau today said, hey, listen, we know everybody in that room is double vaccinated. We encourage Canadians to continue to get as close to 100% as we possibly can. He didn't say that today.
I just think, and I know you're going to say I'm biased, But I just think that if you're talking about vaccinations, if you're talking about double vaxxed, that is actually the ground that is stronger for Trudeau than it is for O'Toole. And I don't want to fight on that ground if I'm O'Toole in these final days. Like, I just don't. It's this race is so freaking close. Stuff like this matters. You got to pick the real estate you fight on.
Jody Wilson-Raybould spoke with John Moore this morning about her new book, Indian in the Cabinet, Speaking Truth to Power. Some are saying if the goal was to get you to buy the book, that didn't exactly happen.
Experience that I had with Justin Trudeau, and I can only speak from that place, is how he presented in the conversations we had way back in 2014 and 2015. The Justin Trudeau that presented himself to me was not the one that I came to know, and everything that went along with that is what I try to detail in Indian in the Cabinet.
Yeah, I'll start with you, Carmen. A lot of people saying, came across more like someone giving witness testimony as opposed to someone that was trying to sell the book that had a very specific point of view. This wasn't the fiery Jody Wilson-Raybould that we're used to.
Yeah, I think you guys are being a little harsh. I mean, just because you can't give a good soundbite doesn't mean what you have to say isn't important. And I think what she does have to say is important. It's not a perspective that gets heard often. Sometimes being part of a party politics process can mean personal compromise. People don't hear those stories a lot. The excerpts I read, I think it paints a really poor picture of Trudeau, and it feeds into the idea that he's not as genuine as he'd like you to believe. But I'm not certain this affects any sort of outcome in the election or sways any votes. This was an issue in the last election, and it was litigated then.
See, I disagree, Scott. I think the entire reasoning behind a book tour, and you're trained to do it, you know this, is to give the soundbite that makes someone want to go out and buy your book. If I'm the publisher, I'm asking her to torque it up in the next one.
Yeah, the problem is that when you have a political book, the controversy happens in, February of last year, and then the book comes out in November of next year, and the gap in between causes the fires to burn down. So you have to find a way to reignite them. I don't know that she reignited them today. I'm being really crass about it. Like, here's what I honestly think about this. I think that something terrible went down there. Like, really, really terrible. And I think we know most of it. We probably don't know all of it. I'm not sure if we did know all of it, it would make us think worse of the prime minister and better of her, or worse of her and better of him. But I think something terrible went down. But I am positive about this part. In 2015, the prime minister went around and said to people, hey, we're not just a political party. We're a cause. We're a movement. Join in my parade. And he did the Les Mis thing. And some people bought into it. And it turns out that actually, you're just a political party and you're just a government, and you're going to make those compromises that Carmen just referenced. And some people, like Jody Wilson-Raybould, said, holy smokes, I didn't realize that's what I was signing up for. Maybe she should have known that's what she was signing up for. Maybe she shouldn't have. I don't know. But that's what really went down, in my view, is that he told people you're joining a movement, not a political party whose mission is to gain power. And the gap between those things left some people sort of going, oh, gosh, I don't know how to manage myself.
You likely heard this story first this morning on More in the Morning, and the video, of course, is on our Instagram feed at Newstalk 1010. But we've got an update on this story for you this afternoon. The Whitby sanitation worker has now lost his job after tossing a Liberal election sign into a garbage truck. Carmen, the Conservative ones were untouched. The Liberal one went, as courtesy of somebody's Ring doorbell camera, went into the garbage truck. Is firing the right outcome here?
I don't know. I would say no. I mean, it's a criminal offense, right? Like, it's a criminal offense to sort of tamper with election signs. I think there should be consequences. Signs cost money. There's a lot of volunteer time that gets put into putting them up. I think there should be consequences. I don't think it should be It should be a fireable offense.
Yeah, Scott, the thing that sticks with me is, like, we're assuming the one time he threw a sign into a garbage truck was the one time it got caught on camera, and that doesn't square with me. I think if you've done it once to see you on camera doing it, you may have done a few more along the route, and these things aren't cheap.
Yeah, I'm 100% against the guy being fired. I'm sure he threw lots of Liberal signs in the garbage can, and I'm sure there's another garbage man somewhere who threw lots of Conservative signs in, and I'm not trying to create a false equivalency, but I'm just saying I don't think that it's a crime. I guess it's in the statute, so you have to treat it that way.
quickly, guys, we got about 60 seconds left. On our News Talk 1010 Instagram, there's a picture of two separate tables. One of them absolutely covered in dishes and really, really messy. One of them completely clean. The millennial generation saying, hey, listen, we clean up our messes. It's the older tables that tend to not clean up after themselves. Which camp do you fall into, Carmen? Are you stacking all the dishes before you leave, or are you just leaving everything behind?
If I'm with all the children and it's really messy, then I'm super ashamed and embarrassed and I will clean up or I will leave a big tip.
Scott?
I am a neat freak. I think the people that don't clean up after themselves literally ought to be put on an island and made to stay there. I am not for this.
The island of misfit dishes.
In a restaurant, anywhere.
I love it. By the way, you'll appreciate this, Scott. Somebody called wrote in at 71010 to call you a liberal synthesizer, which is probably, I don't know what that even sounds
man,
like.
Man, look at my electric lights. Hey, can I add one quick thing, parenthetically? I was listening to you and the mayor earlier, Ryan, and I just want to say that he handed you your ass.
Okay, you can go now. Goodbye. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Carmen.
What a sweetheart.
Bye.
What a jerk. What
Nothing
a
to
jerk
send
way
you off into the nightmare.
To end the show.
Wow. Oh. And you were going to take him to Avenue and get him wings.
Yeah, no chance now.
Not
no
happy.
Chance now. All right, our thanks to Mike and to Donnie. It's been a day.
We return at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Until then, you have the best Wednesday night ever.